You are listening to the Tech Knowledge Podcast, resources for educating today's students for tomorrow's possibilities. Episode 2 for December 11, 2009. I am your host, Angela McCord, Faithful Instructional Coach here at IMS. Join me today as I cover strategies to engage the brain from Marcia Tate's worksheets, Don't Grow Dendrites. First, I'd like to say thank you for listening. I hope this is a painless and quick way to become introduced or reintroduced to some strategies for student engagement. First off, why is student engagement so important? Well, student engagement occurs when students make a psychological investment in learning. That's right, it's mental, y'all. They try hard to learn whatever you have to offer, and they take pride in not just earning the grade, but also understanding the material. It really internalizes in their lives. So, why is student engagement so important? Simply put, it breeds success. And that's what we all want. Teachers, students, parents, and the community. So without further ado, let's discuss some of the Big 20 strategies that Marcia talks about in her workbook. The first strategy is brainstorming and discussion, which is seen a lot in a lot of classrooms at IMS. Why is this so important? Students love to debate. They want to be heard. They like to throw out ideas. And especially if they're given a question where there's more than one answer, this turns on your opportunity for a debate and to really get them involved. Next, drawing artwork. How fun is it for kids to draw? Even the ones that say, well, I can't draw very well, they'll even like to try to do a stick figure, which is really neat. And just to illustrate different definitions, it makes it better for them, more meaningful for them, and also helps strengthen their memory. Next is games. Games are seen a lot at IMS. And why should they be? Well, because this motivates the students definitely. It keeps them actively engaged, and it keeps them learning. And why not decide to turn any worksheet into a game? That can be easily done with your smart boards now. Number 4, graphic organizers. Another neat way to engage students. They love having bits of information. They can draw maps and you can show them relationships between the concepts. That is awesome. Number 5, humor. Humor definitely shows a positive interaction between the students and the teachers. And it loosens up that environment. And it gets them listening. They really like humor. Number 6, manipulatives, hands-on, labs. Do what real scientists do. Do what real mathematicians do. Do what real historians do. So on and so forth. They really love that. Number 7, metaphors, analogies, and similes. This is an example of making previous learning, knowledge, or experiences, linking that together with new learning and making connections and having the students see patterns. This is really engaging to them. Number 8, using mnemonic devices. This really helps facilitate memory because you hear those catchy phrases and they're saying it over and over, that repetitiveness. It really helps students. And what's even better is to have them create their own. That's right. Think about the flowcabulary, how engaged students are about hearing the news on Fridays. Well, there's some sets and some examples where you can have students create their own flowcabulary. And they'll be excited to do that and insert their content. Number 9, movement. Movement enhances memory for learning. I tell you, I thought that I had a nice smart board lesson for teaching the box and whisker plot. However, to my amazement, I happened to walk into a mathematics classroom one day and saw Miss Thacker's students standing up, becoming a human box and whisker plot. It was so engaging, so much movement, and I know that those students internalized it and remembered every step of how to make that box and whisker plot. Number 10, music, rhythm, rhyme, and rap, which sort of goes back to some of our mnemonic devices. Basically, catchy and repetitive. Take a simple tune, sing it with your content in it, or use music to relax the students. We do that a lot. Or stimulate their thinking. Sometimes you can play fast-paced music, then stop and ask the students to share one point from their previous learning. Number 11, project or problem-based learning. This is great. One example of problem-based learning or project-based learning would be a web quest. Real-world, cross-curricular, so that students can make connections. They can increase their questioning skills and their research skills. Number 12, cooperative learning. Provide opportunities for students to work in small groups or pairs. Think pair, share, and present information. Number 13, role play, drama, or charades. These activities link memory to movement using hand signals or arm movements, and they link to the concept. And that way students are able to recall that information better than they would by just listening to the information or by just writing it. Number 14, storytelling. This is one of my favorites because technology can be incorporated in storytelling. Have students organize facts into a story format, even long division. So mathematics teachers, you are not left out. If a story is emotional or dramatic or humorous, if you create the story in that manner for them, then they'll recall it easier. Number 15, guided imagery. Tie images to concepts. This tends to facilitate vocabulary. Number 16, visuals. PowerPoint by itself is not good. Use other visual tools like images on your smart board, video clips, TV, maps, graphs, charts, and any other artifacts. Number 17, my favorite, technology. Students need to use it. They need to create papers with it. They need to listen with technology, watch, research, even do experiments to prepare for the world of work. As we all know, we cannot escape technology integration. Number 18, writing or journaling. Writing helps to store and organize memory. Students think while they do little quick writes. This works across the curriculum, not only for English language arts classes, but also for math and science classes. Something as simple as an exit out of the door, having a small memo pad and having the students reflect the last few minutes of class. Number 19, work study, real life in real life. Need I say more? And last but not least, number 20, field trips. Well, you may say, we already go on field trips. Yes, I know, we get those two guaranteed field trips per year. However, what about virtual field trips? Be sure to explore virtual field trips. That way, you can go on several field trips with your students. These will be real-world experiences that can make learning so much more memorable for them. Well, here you have it. These are all of the 20 big strategies that she talks about in her workbook. Worksheets don't grow dendrites. Give it a try for yourself. Dr. Geddes has copies of this workbook with implicit examples of how to incorporate these strategies into your teaching. So, most importantly, can these big 20 strategies work for you in the classroom? Please let me know. I'd like to do a podcast in the spring and hear from you, letting others know what strategies have worked best for you. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Don't forget to visit my website for resources and integration ideas to engage your students and increase motivation and rigor in the classroom. Email me if you're thinking about implementing a new strategy and would like additional support or resources. Together we can decide on what integration strategy best fits your needs and the needs of your student. I will model those strategies and assist you until you're comfortable. Then I will observe and reflect with you about the observation. Please join me for my next podcast as I cover Web 2.0. What? Cool tools for teaching on the internet. And a special thanks to Wendy Morris, iCoach at Chapin Middle School, for compiling the information on the Big 20 strategies.